Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for who you are and for who we are in you. Help us to hear from you afresh, to know that you have not only called us to be here, called us to be yours, but called us to do something, to be a part of something bigger than us, bigger than what we could have ever imagined. You've called us to go, to be. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to follow you closer. Help us to know you better. Let's not be afraid where you lead, to boldly jump into the deep end in your grace. Now use these words. Use your word to change us from the inside out. We pray this in the mighty name of your Son. Amen. Last week we began, if you will, a church-wide study of talking about, if you will, how God has done something in the world, what he views of, if you will, the world and us as a church. And this week we're going to be talking, if you will, about relationships and how important those are. I think it was, again, a providential moment that God has kind of joined us as All Villages family and welcoming in Donna, because the church is always designed to continually grow and to be, if you will, alive. And so before we go any further, just know this, that wherever you're at, God is going to meet you there. And so if there were some things that we went over last week that you didn't understand, that's okay. Understand that there's a lot in this universe that we don't really get. And yet, maybe there's something God still wants us to learn from it. And so we're going to jump into here, if you will, to the text. And I hope it really connects with you. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. From 1 Corinthians, now you are the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. This is the word of the Lord. After that video from the Kirk of the Keys, I asked you to consider to take a moment as we got ready to listen to the beautiful prelude. We would still our heart, our mind. I didn't choose singular by accident, but I choose it to do it plural, if you will, you. And we got to understand that many times in Scripture that many of the writers are writing to a church, to a community. And so when they say you are the body of Christ, it's we are the body of Christ, not just individual. Absolutely, we're part of it. But again, it's a we. And sometimes in our world, we miss that. We really do. We forget that together we are so different and yet so beautiful. We're an expression of God's love in this world. Let me say that again. We are an expression of God's love in this world, especially when we come together. God can use our everyday, ordinary lives, our comings and goings, individually, and he does. But there's something just special about the church, how he brings us together and allows us to shine brighter when we come together. Last week, I shared with you this text from Psalms. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Everything is his. Just understand especially for this series, that's critical to understand. Everything is his. So in other words, all is the Lord's. All is in his hands. Even the good and the bad, he can work through it and he is over it. We use the term sovereignty of God, or term that helps us know that he is working in spite of our circumstances. That when we get the health reports, okay, Lord, not sure where you're taking this one. When we see the hurricane just aiming towards us, Lord, what are you doing here? But Lord, we trust in you no matter what. We're trusting in his sovereignty. Even our mistakes and our rebellion, he can use for his work, for his glory, for his good. So, all is the Lord's. I gave you another text. It says, since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. Talking about we are strangers in a strange land, that this is not our home, and yet God has called us to be his hands and feet, his light in the world. And so, again, here in our community, absolutely encouraging one another. Out in our community, encouraging one another, being light, taking our everyday, ordinary life, saying, Lord, I'm not sure how you're going to use it, but take today. Somehow, use it. If you work with children, God, give me the grace and the love. If you work with people that don't have much to give back, Lord, help me to shine your light and your love. No matter where you're at, how are we doing that? What is it about that? Why is God calling us to be strangers in a strange land? I asked you a question of why did God rescue us? What's the point of our salvation? Technical term, what's the reason for our atonement? Or why did God want to make us right with him to restore a relationship? Was it just for us individually? Or is it so much bigger? Is God calling us to go and be, not by our strength, not by our own power, but by his grace to go and to shine? Not our light, but reflect his light, to walk with him. I share with you how the church is in exile. The church is in a place where, again, we're all strangers in a strange land. We see stuff on the news all the time that reminds us that this world is not right. This is not well. There's brokenness everywhere. You go to a family get-together, and you're reminded, this world is not well. Sorry, going too close, stepping on toes, moving on. I used to do prison ministry. A lot of times in prison ministry, you'd share, if you will, an idea that would challenge where they were at, if you will. And they'd be like, whoa, whoa, back off there, pastor, back off. And I'm like, okay. Anyhow, I want to present an idea to you, though. Something that's been around for centuries, for millennia. This idea of God as Trinity. Now, how does that make sense with us as being the people of God? Have you ever considered the Trinity? The idea that God is one and yet expressed in three persons. And we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's not a hierarchy, but the best understanding, if you will, would be like they're in a dance. And there's times, I know that when I work with couples before getting married, premarital counseling, one of the things I give them homework to do is I want you to take dance lessons. And they look at me like, and usually it's one of them. It's not always the guy, FYI, just so you know. But there's always at least one of them that's like, why would we need to do that? We just want you to say, yeah, you know, will you? And we say, we will, and we do. And yeah, you know, we don't need that. You know, I'm like, you're going to learn some things about each other if you take some dance lessons. And they're like, but again, I'm like, I won't say anything to you until you know. Anyhow, so they're, I twist their arm. But every time, they learn communication. They learn to let the other person shine at times. They learn to follow the lead. It's amazing what that can do for us. God created because he is love. And love is all about creating and new. And he gave us this thing called the universe. That's just magnificent. He gave us each other. Check out Genesis 1 and 2. And see how interesting God caused people, humanity, to not be okay by themselves. In fact, way before any mistrust or rebellion, if you will, by Adam and Eve, the scripture says, It is not good for man to be alone. Humanity. It is not good to be alone. He made us for one another. Now, some of us have had in our life experiences the incredible privilege and honor, and at times incredible challenge and maybe painfully heartbreaking time of marriage. Now, it didn't start. You didn't, you know, see each other from a distance and just walk to City Hall or walk into a church and say, hey, can we do this? No, there was a boy who met a girl and a girl who met a boy, and they smiled, and hey. And they might exchange notes, check yes or no. They might have just seen each other at a club or a bar or at a dance. Fill in your story. That's okay. Wherever you found yourselves, it's so much bigger than just your love, though. The Trinity is an expression. It's a way for us to try to understand what God wants to do in this world. Have you ever considered, I asked you last week why God rescued you, and if you've ever been in a relationship with someone, marriage particularly, you ever wondered or asked, why did God make marriage? Why did God create this? Why do we have Christian marriages? Is it because, hey, you know, nothing much better to do, let's just kind of get together, kind of establish a nice order society? I think it's so much bigger than that, especially from Scripture. In fact, the more we read about God's view on marriage, the more you find that when we do it in God's boundaries, it can be beautiful. But it's not just for us. I married my wife because I loved her, and I didn't want to spend another day without her. I think she just said, okay, I'll take you. Oh, I'm just playing. In all seriousness, when you love that person, you want to get married, that's great. But quickly, don't you realize that when you said I do, it was so much bigger than what you had any idea about? Whether the person got sick, whether the person just had totally different habits than you. What do you mean we can't spend more money than we make? I mean, so on and so forth. There's all these conversations that make up this thing we call marriage. But it's so much bigger, so much greater. Scripture points out that marriage is actually to represent and a micro expression, if you will, of God's kingdom here on earth. That you and your loved one is to be this family, to shine to others, that they may know that God is here. God is alive. God is working in this world. I had an amazing, wonderful privilege last night to marry this couple. The gentleman on the right, Evan Russell, and now it's Kirsten Russell, but Evan Russell was a youth when I first came and moved to Fort Pierce, working at Indian River Presbyterian Church, our sister church in Fort Pierce. He was in seventh grade, and tall, lanky, goofy young man, incredibly kind, loved life. You just loved when he was around, just incredibly kind. He was probably the tallest kid in his class at times, most times, probably one of the strongest. He could have bullied people. He was just a gentle, loving young man. So I had the privilege of going with him on several mission trips and seeing him just kind of, whether it be swinging a hammer, painting a brush, going, why are we doing this? Like, this is hard. Like, why? And I said, sometimes showing the love of God is difficult. You know what? But we need to do it. And to hear and check in with him when he went to UCF. And I started back in my seminary, my calling of, if you will, to follow where God was leading. And so I'm not even at the church officially on staff anymore, but it doesn't mean I don't care about him anymore. And so I'd call him and I'd get together with him on lunch and stuff up in Orlando every now and again when I was up there and just checking in on him. And I encouraged him, hey, how you doing? You get plugged into a church or not? And he's like, you know, Dust, I remember you said you wanted us to graduate with our faith, not from our faith. And I mean, it's tough finding a church. There's no church like my church, like our church back home. And I said, you're right. What's your point? And he's like, that was my point. I said, no, that's not good enough. God made us to be in relationship with one another. And every community is going to be different. This community, All Villages, is special, is unique. DNA. We are just a different group. Different's good. I like different. But there's no other church like us. Even though you can go to another church that loves Jesus, it's going to be different. You can go to another Presbyterian church, it's going to be different. You can go to another eco church, it's different. And yet, God has called us here. And I said, you need that. Got plugged in. Got connected. Ends up meeting his future bride in college. They move out to Texas, and it's just a beautiful thing to see where God has them. And so he calls me and says, hey, would you mind, would you be able to? And I said, yes, now when's the date? I'm not missing this for anything, man, absolutely. I said, when's the date? Let's do this. And so he's like, Saturday night. I said, awesome. Not awesome, not awesome. But I'm like, okay, let's do it. And so like we're there, we do the ceremony, and I'm so, again, and Pastor George can tell you, we have the best seat in the house. When we officiate a wedding, we see the bride coming down. I'm not overcome usually in tears because, again, I'm not marrying her, right? I saw my bride. I'm like, oh, okay, this is not good. Here I am waiting and watching. And I see him, and he is just about to just float. I'm like, hold down. She's walking up in her beauty with her dad. And her dad is just, I mean, he's like running up here like, yeah, this is great. I love this guy. I love her. You know? And I'm trying to hold it back now because I'm like, this, Lord, is so beautiful. But in there, as part of my description of what marriage is, I said, understand it's bigger than your love for each other. It's for the life of the world. God is doing this special, amazing, beautiful thing in your life so you can be his hands and feet. That marriage and family is so much bigger than we just love one another. And I hope this connects. This is not about an ethic of love. There's love. Don't get me wrong. But it's so much bigger than that. That reduces what it is. It's an ethic that adheres to Jesus Christ. That as we follow him, as we understand love to be a reference to God and his divine purposes, the way his order of things, just maybe, we can see that our life is meant to be poured out for others. That if you've been rescued and I've been rescued, then how can we do that better together? And so I give you this question. How might we share our family for the life of the world? Our family here, our church family, how can we? We're going to have pumpkins. It's a fundraiser, but let's get real here. There's a lot of effort, a lot of energy that goes into it. We don't make enough to cover that. Okay? It's great, and we're going to use those funds to help bless the community, absolutely. But it's an amazing opportunity to brush shoulders with other people in the community that might never come here. It's an amazing opportunity through vegetables. Okay, we're talking pumpkins, folks, 90% water. Through vegetables, to have hundreds and hundreds of people come into our campus and to have a festival for them, a festival for our school to connect with their families, a whole trunk or treat at the end of the month where we even have judges for that, just FYI. We're going to go around. We're going to do voting for who has the best trunk, which ones are decorated the best. I heard, I could be wrong, but Pitt was saying that he's going to just whoop everyone. So I said, okay, Pitt. I said, you keep going, man. Pitt's like, no. Okay, well, okay, moving on. So how might we, again, share our family for the life of the world? And then personally, how might you share your family for the life of the world? When you understand, and I understand that our life is not ours, things change. Haven't the greatest people in your life been people that have offered you something that you could never give back in return? We got back really late last night. So much later than what we intended. Like our sitter, God bless her. I'm like, okay, we should be home around 9-ish, right? And we're like 10. Anyhow, and we got up on time. We're like walking out the door. And Evan's family comes, elder over at Any River, and just gives him this giant hug and says, remember when we went on this mission trip? Remember when? And I'm like, oh my gosh, yes. Oh my God, yes, that was so beautiful. And he says, I can never repay you. And I just obviously was overwhelmed like I am now. And I just said, there's nothing to repay. It's just what God's called us to be and do. It's God has called us to go and be, wherever that may be. And so wherever you find yourself, whether you're struggling with illness, finances, relationally, fill in the blank, wherever you're at, God wants to meet you there and work through you in that. Time and time again, you and I are given opportunities that we don't seize because we don't pay enough attention. Maybe we're not attuned to what God's doing. But maybe today that can be different. Maybe we can stop right now and say, Lord, would you take this time? Would you help me to hear you? Would you give me your grace so I can love others? Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege it is to be here at All Villages Presbyterian Church. Thank you for a community of people that want to know you, that want to follow you, that want to be your hands and your feet. Lord, we all have brokenness in our lives, though. We all need you greater than we realize. And so we ask that you would take our hearts, take our minds, take our spirits, take our very souls, and help us to dance with you. And our families, help us to dance with you and for you. May we pour out. May our families be a blessing. May we realize that you have been so generous with us that, of course, we should be generous with others. For those of us that just, Lord, right now, all we can feel and know is our brokenness, is our pain. Would you meet us in a very special, tangible way to know that you're with us, that our church family is here to love, to support, to encourage, to challenge, to hold accountable. But Lord, we shine so much better, so much brighter together than we do on our own. We lift up our community. We lift up all those who are just so lost and so hurting. We pray for the victims in Las Vegas. We pray for the nation and this world, that you are the true King. You are the one who holds everything together. And in spite of our circumstances, in spite of hurricanes, in spite of earthquakes, in spite of doctor's reports, in spite of how little or how much we have in the bank account, you are sovereign. And you have blessed us to be a blessing. We pray, Lord, that for the life of the world, we would follow where you lead. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ all around the world, especially our sisters' churches at the Grove, Any River, and Palm City. We pray that they would be blessed, that you would bless them like you blessed us 100-fold. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. But more importantly, thank you for your Son, Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, and who taught his disciples how to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.